I'm Aaron Miller. I'm a senior at Wisconsin Lutheran this year, and I do AV here at St. Paul's and also at Wisco. In addition, I teach Kids Club here. I do the slides and sound and lights occasionally here in the AV booth. It's something I really enjoy doing. I do the same stuff at Wisco for chapel every day, so it's kind of become a passion for me, something I might want to work into in my future. Kind of like my own way of leading a service. Instead of, I once wanted to be a pastor, but now I get to lead a service in a different way. It's a blessing that God gave me the gift to be able to do this, so I can still feel like I'm leading His church, but in a way that I enjoy doing. Here, I've gotten to know people who have taught me stuff I went to learn at Wisco on how to do this tech stuff. So in a way, we've become more like a family. In addition, I teach Kids Club here, third and fourth grade this year. This is actually the third year I'm teaching the same group of kids. So it's we've become a cozy little group or family of people that I very much enjoy teaching. They've gotten to know me, I've gotten to know them, and it's kind of cool when you feel comfortable with teaching people, and when they open up, and you almost feel like you can reach them more when they trust you with what you're saying. And for that 1 hour every Sunday, I very much enjoy to teach them, teaching the next generation of the church. Even if it's just basic Bible lessons, it's the foundation of their faith. And if they need reassurance one day, they're going to go back to those simple truths in the Bible, and maybe they'll think, hey, I learned that in Sunday school that one time, and maybe they won't remember me, but I'll be happy that they remember that one lesson. They're the next people who are going to run this church, and if I get to build that simple foundation for them, it's an honor that I get to do that.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace are yours and mine. Because of God our Father, through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Just a hello to those who are online with us today, and also to give a shout-out to my three-year-old grandson, Matt, who actually helped write the last tail end of the sermon today. And hello to you, the people of God, here in home. Today, our text is from Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. We're going to read the verses off the screen. It's a selection of the verses, not all of them. Ephesians is not a light meal. Ephesians is heavy eating. And for 16 verses, you got to tear it back a bit. So here we go. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Paul writing as a prisoner in Rome. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let's read together the rest of the way. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. One more slide. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. These are God's words. Dear brothers and sisters, friends in Christ Jesus, so were you the kid who always had to be first? And you had the personality to claim that role? And deep down, are you still that kid? Me first! And how well is that working for you? Or were you the kid that was always right, smug, arrogant? You didn't have the personality to always claim it, but you've been living your life just sitting back and being kind of in judgment on people all the way along. Me first, with knowledge, how well is that working for us? Or are you still the kid that maybe your wife has to remind you to thank people and to put others ahead of yourself? Or is your agenda for the day the most important, and I might help you if the return for me is good enough? Me first. How's that working for us if that is all we give of ourselves to the world? Is me? I have to admit, I have a little bit of a nostalgic viewpoint of my growing up, my childhood. I now have a better sense of my extended family, but I still, in my life, one of the greatest gifts of life that God has given to me is all of the weekends and the vacations spent on the family farm. Now, a lot of that extended family generation is in heaven with Jesus even as I speak, but I love my extended family so much. And why? Well, it was because of the glue that held us together. You see, every Sunday at the farm, Grandpa would pull the car out of the garage 35 minutes before church, and he would sit in the car and wait till all of us came out. A man of few words, but boy did he speak a mouthful when he said to us, Jesus first is how this family rolled. And my grandma lived that. You, Jesus first, and ultimately you before me, the love of Jesus. She lived that by her life. Whenever we pulled into the farmyard, the beds were always made and there was always a fresh apple crisp on the countertop waiting for us. It's how Grandma rolled. I can't wait to get to heaven to find my grandma and to thank her for that love she learned from Jesus. You before me. Because it still is the glue for my extended family. You before me is who we are. Paul taps into that thought and creates that for us. Here again, the opening verses. Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received into God's family, part of His family. Be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the peace, unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Epaphras helped that. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Does God struggle to find time for us, you before me? You know, if anybody had a full plate, it would be the Almighty God, the God of the universe. There's a lot going on in this place. And also, I kind of think that there's more on God's plate than that just this universe. And so the fact, even the thought that God would have time for me, that in His long to-do list, I would pop off that list, get His attention, just ponder that for a moment. But when we read the Bible, it becomes obvious the overriding theme of Scripture is God says to us, you before me. Think back to our first Sunday visiting the family church. The Holy Spirit reminded us that before the creation of the world, God chose us to be His own, to make us perfect and holy in His sight through the forgiveness of sins. And how did He do that? He planned to work as the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to plan our salvation and live out our salvation and send His Son to express His love to the world. And then God says to us that every day in all of our lives, throughout the across the planet and the universe, God is at work. Just imagine what God's daily planner looks like. But to assist Him in His work, He gave us this book. Two covenants, 66 smaller books, 42-ish authors, 1,500 years it took. Law and Gospel, Sin and Grace, Accountability and Forgiveness, that all finds its focus and its resolution at the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus, the Son of God, was totally focused on you and me as He prayed, Father, forgive them, and then He died. Oh, and before He died on the cross, He also washed some pretty gnarly feet of His disciples, so that you and I would always have a picture in our minds of what service looks like and what the heart of a servant does. You before me, says our Jesus, the Lord of the universe. And by my death and through faith in me, I have made you part of the family of God for eternity, but also for here and now, that you might love as I have loved in humility and service. You before me is how our Jesus rolls. Our God was kind and patient and loving and forgiving, and He has left to us the legacy of living His love in our world. But what is it? Back up. Ahead of myself. When Satan entered the Garden of Eden, the perfect physical creation experienced for the first time a different spirit, a spirit that it never knew. You see, the Creator is love. The deceiver is the spoiler. The Creator is always about you. The deceiver is always and only me and only me. The Creator is freeing, the deceiver enslaves. When visitors walk into the bridge, or when visitors walk into your home, or when friends or co-workers walk into your office space or into whatever space you occupy every day, do they sense a different spirit around you than they find in the world? When you give them a welcome, is it authentic? No agenda, no hoping to gain from them. Is your interest in me genuine, or are you seeking a benefit somehow? In your family church, in your circle of friends, in your spaces, if people know you and you come walking into a room or into a conversation, do they sense that you bring a different spirit than they find in the world? When you ask them, hey, how are you doing today? Is that a real question with active listening because you care that follows? Hopefully all of us could say, yeah, that's me, that's how I work. Different spirit in me. And if that's true of us most of the time, why is that? Well, God would say to us that it is because of the different spirit, His Holy Spirit, that He has placed in us personally, in this family church, in this room, and in the ministry and family that is St. Paul's, that we are different because the Spirit in us is a Spirit who reminds us that our physical life is only because of the Creator. Our eternal life is only because of the Savior. And our spiritual life, our walk of faith, is only because of the work of the Spirit Himself, who brings to us this one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. You see, it's God's service to us that is the glue that has brought us together. And it is the glue that keeps us together. You before me. Now we come to the question from before. What is it that fractures family church? Isn't it the me? When me comes before you. Now don't misunderstand. There is the sin of others that can fracture and break family deeply and cleanly. But sometimes the me that's causing the break, the fracture is me. The me that lives in me, this guy. And if that's the case, then it's God wants me to own that sin and to come before Him in repentance for the forgiveness of sin and to turn from that sin and then go to you and put you before me and seek your forgiveness. And if you are the me that is causing the hurt, then God wants the same to come from you. Because through forgiveness, which is, we learn from Jesus, which is you before me, the Holy Spirit binds us back together and strengthens the family church. You before me. It's all about Christ's love. Now Paul goes on to practically help us know how to live this. Now to each one, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, handed it out. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, why? To equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ, as each part does its work. You before me is what the family church is, what the family of God is. And it's really cool when we all recognize what my role is in that family. And by God's grace, as we ponder our lives, we can think about how God, where God has placed us, what He is asking us to do, and how He has gifted us. But as we do that, think of this question. How far-reaching is the family church? I think Jesus would say to us through Paul today that family church exists wherever you are and whatever opportunities He puts in front of us. So this past Thursday and Friday, I was in Delaware. And I was privileged to do some of the easy and fun part a family church, spending time with my daughter and her family. And so I spent time wrestling with my grandson, reading Mighty Paws over and over again to my granddaughter, deep conversations with my daughter, going out when they were all gone for part of the day and filling their cupboards and their refrigerator full of fun things and fun foods that they normally don't buy for themselves. And then at bedtime in the evening to bless them all in the name of the Lord before we all went to sleep. Family church, easy and fun. But then God surprised me with family church through the cashier at Walmart. I'm checking out and she is just wonderfully bright and cheery and I was just kind of really focused on my day. And it warmed my heart how nice she was. And then I was able to help her recognize that it was an acorn squash that I was buying. And then I could help her find on her cheat sheet of barcodes acorn squash. It was just a very friendly exchange. And I almost wanted to ask her, are you part of the family? Are you a believer in Jesus? Because I could sense the Spirit of God. And then they met another friend, a sister in Christ, named Misty. M-I-S-D-E-E in a southern kind of way, Misty. A friend of my daughter, a co-worker of my daughter, who's a prayer warrior for my daughter, and an encourager who said, oh, I just tell her, hey, if ever you need something, just call me up, I'll be there for you, because you know, we are the hands and feet of the big guy. And we have to remind ourselves to plug in once in a while. I thought, dear Lord, I love this person, and I love family church. You before me, she's living it in front of my eyes. The joy of family church. And then I thought, how awesome are our roles in family church. That wherever we are called to train and equip each other to know Christ better, to cling to His love, to bloom and serve where He has planted us. You take time to ponder every day the reality that we are not here to build this life, this world, so much as we are truly here to build for eternity. Parents, we are not here to build up our children so that they have a high-paying job someday. That might happen. But we are here to build our children so that they will be in the presence of God forever because of Jesus. We are not here to have friends, we have things to, people to do things with before we die, or to build a network for ourselves to line our walls. We are here to add brothers and sisters to the family of God, to build each other up, so that we all spend eternity forever in the presence of God because of Jesus. That is why we are here. And then we can walk along with them on the road of life. And we remind each other of God's forgiveness, of God's blessings, of God's promises, as we are His hands and feet, holding each other's, walking with each other, being a blessing for the family of God and for the family of church in all of our lives. So on Thursday, family church, this is how it works. Family church had one of the best days I've ever spent on this planet. Family church went to the beach. That beach on the Atlantic Ocean. And it was a day filled with the blessings of the father of family church. Burying my grandchildren in the sand. Building sandcastles with them. Teaching my grandson the joy of waves at high tide. Body surfing with my daughter through those waves. Watching a pod of dolphins going up and down, just off the shore, feeding was the coolest thing ever. But the best part of family church happened on the drive to the beach. We're driving along, and just turned three, little Matt says from the car seat in the back, Mommy, put on Papa's sermon, the one about Samson. And in an eerie, kind of cool, emotional way, all of a sudden I hear my voice over the car speakers, and it's the failing forward sermon from the summer. And then there's little Matt in back, staring at Mommy's iPhone, watching the bridge. The entire sermon, and every once in a while he'd throw out his favorite line that I had even forgotten I ever said. And I'm going, wow, family church. I thought of it, and I thought of my daughter. And I thought of the blessing of St. Paul, that this is family church. 2,700 of us reaching out to God's world. From this place to our homes, to Walmart across the nation, to Delaware of all places. From our hearts to our children's hearts to our grandchildren's hearts, right into eternity. The beauty of family church. Now, truth be told, family church has its struggles. Family church has its tough places. right? But as you and I grow in serving each other as the hands and feet of Jesus, we are reminded every day of what our purpose is. To prepare each other to spend forever as family in eternal life. Aaron Miller, he set that up for us today, didn't he? With our opening video. We are here to serve Jesus with you before me, wherever God has planted us, however we are gifted. We are here to serve that message and that love of Jesus, you before me. And then Jesus will be known, the family church will be blessed, the church will be blessed, the world will be blessed. I have a new friend because of this family, St. Paul. I'll call her Mary. Mary has visited us 2 times in the last year and a half, both on Good Friday. But as Mary has come to visit and sat down at our spiritual family table, she loves the food she gets here. And then she joined our encouragement, equipping, training class known as Following the Promise. And she came to love the family. You see, she loves her Jesus. She loves His family. She loves the Spirit here. And she is sucked to Jesus, glued for eternal life. She will tell you that. And she wants to be glued to us, this family church. Now, I'm not sure that she has actually visited us for regular worship yet, but that day will come. You see, there are some hurts that have fractured family church, and they've cut deep. But the beauty is that her Jesus has cut deeper. And He has shared with her His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His hope. She has heard Him say, "You before me, it's how I love." And she has said back, "I love that about you, and I love your people." Family church, let us never cease to live and to love what has bonded us together, what that binds us together. The glue of family church, you before me, we learned it from Jesus. And there's more people to add to this family, to the glory of our God, to the joy of family church, and to the eternal family that you and I are already privileged to know. Let us pray. Great God and Lord, we thank you that before the creation, before the beginning of time, you thought of family church. A title that we get from you. We are your family, and we get church to be called out from the world. We are called out to be yours, to belong to you, to be loved by you, to be comforted by you, to be given hope by you. Forgive us when we, living out our own small areas of family church in this world, when we make it too much about me or even all about me at times, forgive us for that sin. Help us to go to our brothers and our sisters in repentance before you first and in repentance to them and to seek their forgiveness, that the Spirit may again bind us together with the love we learn from you, you before me. Thank you for every role you have given to each one of us in this room today. Thank you for the gifts and talents you have given us to serve. And may we always remember that we are not building in this world for time or for us. We are building in this world for you and forever and for the family of God. So thanks for being the heart of our family church. Thank you for teaching us how to love. And may we never forget that. And may we always be like Mary, who loves you, who loves the food you give, who loves the Spirit, your Spirit, that lives in this place. So thank you for placing us in the family. You made a place for us. How cool is that? And all God's people